We thank you that Christ is our cornerstone, our foundation on which we can build our entire life. And if our foundation is in you, then our anchor is strong, our anchor holds. Lord, we thank you that our trust and our faith in you, Lord, we know we can be secure in faith, we can be secure in your love, we can be secure in salvation. Lord God, we pray now as we come to your word. Lord, may it breathe life into our hearts and our souls. Lord, may it open our eyes to see what you're saying to us this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is kind of a talk which Steve's going to give in part. I might just wrap a few things up at the end as well. Not sure how it's going to work yet. We're going to see how it happens. But a few weeks ago now at Leadership Team, we spent some time just in prayer, praying about the life of the church. And various different things came out of that. But one of the words that came out of that is basically what Steve's going to speak on this morning. Steve was sharing about this particular message that he'd given somewhere else. And I said to Steve, you have to give that in church because it's a word for us, I think, in this church. So with that in mind, bear in mind, I have something that I really strongly feel that God is saying to the church and to the life of the church. Bear that in mind as you come to hear what Steve wants to share with us this morning.
Ephesians 6, verse 10 onwards. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the Gospels, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I've spoken a couple of times about various bits and pieces to do with me playing hockey. And so this little thing here that I want to talk about today is to do with hockey. Now, first of all, a hockey ball is very hard. They're not made out of the same stuff anymore, but years ago they used to be basically the same as a cricket ball. They're not made out of the same stuff. A cricket ball has a seam to it, and old-fashioned hockey balls did. But they're made to be the same hardness. So the idea of these days, I'm a defender. I play at the back. I'm not quite as tall as him, but if there was a hockey equivalent in football, I'd try to play a bit like John Terry. So I play at the back, and I'm rubbish at hockey. I just stop other people playing. I think that's what my role is. For years, I used to play in goal, and I still have use of some goalie kit. And when there's a shortage of goalkeepers, I play in goal. So it's always struck me that I become a different person when I've got this goalie kit on. So I just wanted to show you what that was all about. And this involves a few pieces of kit. The goalie kit bag is the same size as the kit bag for everybody else. So there's quite a lot of stuff in here. The first thing that gets put on is the belt. Now, a goalie is very keen to put this on first. If you forget putting this on, you're in trouble in the match. And here we go. Okay, so hopefully that's the obscene bit over. I've done with that now. The belt is interesting. If you can imagine a picture of a Roman soldier, a belt wouldn't be a belt. A belt is that waistband thing with those bits of metal that come down and protect down to their knees. So the belt isn't actually just a belt. That word means that kind. I don't know if you can imagine a Roman soldier with that kind of skirty thing on. And it isn't just about a belt holding his trousers up. It's a thing which protects those parts of his body. Now, I might have to put this stuff on in a different order because there's an order to this which makes it doable. So the next thing I'm going to put is something for my feet. And then it says a little bit further down, a shield. There's no shield. The shield involves something that protects kind of the length of your body. So I've got two for my legs, and you'll see the size of my gloves in a little bit. But the shield. Breastplate of righteousness. Incidentally, if anybody remembers, this is 32. I inherited this shirt off somebody else, and there's probably about four people that get what this is. Before I get on to the main point of this, there is only one real other little bit to say about all this stuff before I come on to the main point. And that's about the sword of the Spirit. Okay, it's going to be difficult to talk with the helmet on, so I'll just do this to start with. But the sword of the Spirit. The stick is clearly something to do with the sword of the Spirit. And when I read about, first time I kind of read this passage, and then for a while, it troubled me about the idea of the sword. Because you think of a sword as being an aggressive weapon and being a thing that you strike out with. And it had never really figured to me that that was the Christian way, that that was the thing to do. And it struck me that actual fact, I never use my stick aggressively. I can't use my stick in an attacking manner. I'm 100 metres from the other goal. What I use my stick for is for defence. And apparently, if you learn fencing, or if you learn swordsmanship, then the first stuff you learn is how to parry and how to block. Now, I've watched proper goalies who really know what they're doing, and they can be attacking with their sticks. But it's only for those who really know what they're talking about and really know what they're doing. And they can pass the ball with it and stuff. All I use mine for is stopping shots and getting in the way and stopping other people from playing. I don't use the stick for anything that would be called attacking play. It's all defensive. And so the idea of the sword of the Spirit used to worry me that the sword was an attacking thing. But I think while that still worries me, I'm happy to believe that the sword of the Spirit is a thing that is there to defend me. So, the helmet of salvation. Now, here we go. Let's see if I can get a microphone to work under here. Here's the test. This stuff changes me. It doesn't make me the person that I was. Putting this stuff on, I'm a different person to who I was. In hockey, you get green cards, then yellow cards, then red cards. I've never had a card, ever. But I am some kind of psycho beast when I'm wearing this. I intimidate other people when I'm wearing this stuff. I try to really properly get in the way of the opposition within the first couple of minutes so that they know that I'm serious. I become a different person because I'm wearing this stuff. So here we go. It's mentioned a few times at the end of the passage. This is the word that I've thought about with all this stuff. This is the word that I think is for all of us, and it's the word for me as well. Here we go. This is it. This is all you have to remember. You have to kind of remember this image, and then you have to remember this. With this on, I am fearless. That's it. If this is an analogy to the way that we live our lives with all of this armor, we should be able to go out and be fearless. Because with this on, I am fearless. The ball is really hard. I do get hurt sometimes. I get hurt sometimes mostly because I've done something stupid. The most exposed parts of my body here are if I bend my leg, the ball can potentially hit my knee. And that happens every so often. There are some little bits and pieces that aren't quite as covered as they should be up here. And I do sometimes get those bruised. But with this on, I am fearless. Pete was wondering whether he could hit me with a stick. Well, I don't know. Let's see. So come this side. Maybe just my legs, okay?
Okay. How hard?
How hard do you like? Okay. No, it's fine. go and do it again, just for proof. Oh, golly. Fine. It really doesn't, it doesn't hurt. And you just imagine the injury that that would have caused without this. I'm hardly going to stand in front of a hockey ball with someone taking a shot at me without this stuff on. This changes who I am. And with this on, I am fearless. Now, that is genuinely true. Thank you. Before you do it again without me knowing. If that is genuinely true, if we can believe that we are fearless because God is with us and provides us with all this stuff in our lives, if that is genuinely true, it should make a difference to the way that we live. Now, today is May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. Haha, May the 4th be with you. Haha, good, okay. Jesus tells us that he loves us. And in a Star Wars fashion, when Jesus says to us, I love you, the very least we should say back to him is, I know. Star Wars reference there for anybody who got it. For anybody who didn't, all you need to remember about what I've said is this image and just the idea that when I'm wearing this stuff, I am fearless.
Tag teaming in now. I just want to say a few other things on that. I think that really is a word for us as a church about being fearless, actually standing in what God has done for us so that we are fearlessly making known the gospel of God. And we've been talking about the Beatitudes over these last umpteen weeks and months. And the Beatitudes are about having a kingdom character, being Christ-like, having a characteristic which is like him. And last week, if you were here last week, I was talking about living in persecution for our faith. If you weren't here last week, you need to get the message from last week because it was vitally important for concluding the Beatitude series. Talking about how we are going to live, if we are living for righteousness, and talking about how a kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, as we start living for that truth, we will have opposition. People will get offended by the gospel because the gospel is like a light and sin is like darkness. When darkness shines its light into darkness, darkness has to curl back. It exposes sin. Light exposes sin. But so often, we get persecuted for living a righteous life, living the lifestyle for God. And when we do that, that can come in lots of different forms. I talked about how it can come through mockery, it can come through slander, it can come through intimidation, which is a big one. People trying to intimidate us back for the standing in truth. And as Steve is saying, Paul writes in the scriptures, he says, put on the full armor of God. He's saying, put on the equipment that allows you to advance in the kingdom of heaven, that allows you to stand through persecution, that allows you to stand in the way of darkness, to fearlessly make known the gospel message, to fearlessly go forward. See, the Roman outfits, when Paul is using that illustration of the Roman centurion and his outfit, from the helmet right down to the whole gear, to anyone in the Roman Empire, what did that symbolize? It symbolized an example of the kingdom. It represented the empire of Rome. If you saw a Roman centurion, you knew what that stood for. It stood for the military might and power of Rome. It stood for the advancing empire of Rome. When we stand in the armor of God, understanding salvation, living in truth, living in righteousness, living by faith, with our feet ready to share the gospel, ready to move, ready in the peace of God's gospel, when we are ready with the sword of the Spirit, when people see that, it is saying the kingdom is here. The kingdom is advancing. When we put on the truth that Scripture speaks of, when we wear it like that outfit, not only do we become fearless, but people will recognize that that is a kingdom way of living. It will stand for the kingdom of God. But so often as Christians, the problem is that we end up being in fear of what people might think. Fear is one of the great crippling mentalities of not only human beings, but particularly in the life of the church. We say, fearlessly, fearlessly make known. Fearless. I have no fear. Steve is saying, when he is wearing all of that hockey gear, He is fearless. He stands there and he's in the way of what's coming against him. He has no fear in doing that. He has no fear in the persecution that might come. When we stand in the armor of God, there is no fear of the persecution that might come. The reality of the spiritual realm is real. We can try and downplay it. We can try and go, we don't like to talk about those spiritual things. It's a bit, ooh. But Paul writes in the scriptures, and if it's in the Bible, it has to be true. Because if I believe that salvation is true, I have to believe that everything the Bible says is true. I can't pick and choose what is in the Bible and what is not in the Bible. If it's there, it has to be true. We live in a spiritual battle between living in the righteousness of God and the sin and the darkness of the world. And when light and dark come together, there will be a conflict. There will be a conflict as we stand fearlessly for that truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy verse 7, it says, Paul writes to Timothy saying, we have not been given a spirit of timidity, or you could put fearfulness there, but we have been given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. We have not been given a spirit of fearfulness, but a spirit of power. We are given the Holy Spirit to be the power of God in us, at work within us. We've been given a love. Just think about those words in Scripture. It says, perfect love casts out fear. We've been given a love. And we've been given a self-control. And I would say that self-control relates to us at the moment, to the Beatitude series we've just been looking at, about what is it to have a kingdom lifestyle, to be a disciplined person living for God's kingdom, living for what he stands for. We've been given the power of the Holy Spirit, which is his love inside of us, which casts out fear. And we have been given the ability to be self-controlled, living a lifestyle of God's kingdom. That's what we've been given, a power to move forward. But so often, fear cripples us. And one of the biggest things in the life of the church is fear paralyzes the church. Fear paralyzes us in our life. You can't move forward. Because we're scared if we go outside of this, then it all might be different. And what if it changes? And what if this or what if that? We don't live in the what ifs. We live in the truth. So all the what ifs are not the truth. The truth is the helmet of salvation. The truth is the breastplate of righteousness. The truth is the belt of truth. The truth is the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We stand by the truth of what God has said about us and what he clothes us in. So the scripture is saying, don't fear. Fear has the ability to paralyze what we're doing, to stop us moving forward. The second thing that fear can do is fear can enslave us. It says in the Bible, I have to just find the verse for this because the ones I will get is wrong. But it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says this. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. You have not received a spirit to enslave you into fear. The other thing that fear does is it enslaves you. It makes you captive to something else other than the freedom that you have in God. The Bible says you are set free because of the truth of salvation. You are set free because of righteousness. You are set free because of salvation. As soon as we start entering back into fear, we are entering back into a mentality of slavery because our fear is the thing that holds us. Our fear is the thing that is dominating us, and we are held captive by our fear. So to put on the armor of God is say, I am fearless. I am not a slave to these things. I'm not going to be paralyzed by these things. I am going to step forward fearlessly because of who I have become in Christ, because of what he has done for me. I am now, as that scripture says, I become a sonship. I become a child of God. In the Beatitudes, we've been talking about actually being a child of God. If we are children of God, all the promises that scripture has for the children of God are now ours. And so to clothe ourselves daily, being reminded with the promises of God, is so crucially important. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you're clothed in, other people will try and clothe you with other things and other words. And ultimately, you'll be clothed with fear. Fear is the biggest thing that can hold us back in our lives as people, hold us back in our lives in the church. We are called to be fearless. And we become fearless by letting the power of God work in us to clothe us with salvation, righteousness, truth, faith. and be equipped with the sword of the Spirit. I like what Steve said there about the sword of the Spirit. Actually, when you first start out learning defense, and I've done that, it's a defensive tool. But as you mature in faith, there comes times when actually you do have to use it offensively. And I spoke last week about how two times ago in the Beatitude series, we talked about being peacemakers, being at peace. But then how last week, talking about persecution, Jesus does say, I have not come to bring peace, but has come to bring a sword. Saying that actually sometimes there is a place for attack. Now, the thing is, and this is the last thing we're going to say, the problem with Christians who start engaging in spiritual warfare is that so often they try and start with attack before they've got defense sorted out. And it's the biggest problem in the life of the church, and particularly in the charismatic movement, has been that what's happened is, rather than starting off understanding the defense that we have in God, who we are in God, what we are clothed in fact, we are called, first of all, just to stand fearlessly in the way of the opposition. They try and go out, trying to attack, and they're not clothed, they're not ready, they know who they are. And so often people become wounded severely because they have not protected themselves in who they are. So there is a time for attack, but that comes after you are confident in who you are and confident in what you are clothed in. Otherwise, you will end up being wounded and wounded badly. And since you become wounded, you then become fearful. I've been in situations, not playing hockey, but in other sports, where I've been hurt by a ball in a particular way, and so you're scared to go and do that move again because actually you've been hurt before. And so hurt is one of the biggest things that allows fear to creep back in. We have got to cut fear out of our lives and call to be fearless, clothing ourselves with the truth of what God says about us, about what our salvation is, and about what he is for us. So we're going to spend some time now in worship again. And I have no idea what's going to happen now, but I just want to pray that we would break fear in the life of our church and in the life of each other. Because fear is so crippling. Not only in our mentality, but physically. So often physical problems in our life can be caused by fear, whether that be health problems or other things. Not always, I'm not saying that's always the case. But it can be the deep-seated reasons behind certain things. We also want to pray that God's freedom would break out now in our church. If you are feeling fearful this morning of something, I pray that it would be broken in Jesus' name. If you're not sure whether you're fearful of anything, just ask God, is there actually fear in my life? And what's the truth that you'd say about that situation, God? So we're just going to spend some time worshipping God. You can feel free to stand or sit as you wish. And in this time, if you just want to just ask God, God, what does this mean to me? What does it mean for me to be fearless? What's stopping me being fearless in my life for you? And I'm going to pray a little bit later on and just ask God to break it in his name. Because I believe that God wants us to be free people, not enslaved to fear, not enslaved to sin, but set free to live a life for him.